You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Virginia. Indie game. That's pretty much it.
Man, I really thought you were going to say vagina.
Vagina.
Vagina. I was like, where are you going?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, those are all the words that the developer of Virginia, which is what, 505 Studio, 505 Games, these are all the words that they probably thought of when they were making this thing. And in an effort to do that, to like, it's all going to be about symbolism and metaphor, and it's going to be this really emotional experience. It's like, not really. Everything's just kind of like, everything is symbolism and metaphor and analogy. And it's just like, at the point, it's like, just tell me a story.
Yeah.
I don't want to think this much.
It's like,
not even think, it's just, I'm just there.
It thought a lot of, this would be a cool symbol for this, and this would be a cool symbol for this.
Yeah.
And it put so many symbols that it forgot to help you understand any of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem with this game, but also sort of the fun of the game, if that makes sense. Because immediately after finishing, I like went online and was like, what the fuck does this mean? Like, what does anything mean? And I found cool, interesting stories, but like, anyway, I'm kind of killing your intro.
I mean, no, it's fine. That was my intro. It's just like, I'm going to be as random and as off-putting as Virginia is. But yes, welcome to We Are Error Reviews, where we are reviewing Virginia, an adventure game that came out earlier this year.
An interactive movie.
An interactive movie experience. A virtual novel, as I think they might be called.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just going to read the Wikipedia entry because
you really
confused.
Don't know what happened, do you?
I don't know. So Virginia is a 2016 first-person mystery adventure video game developed by Variable State and published by, it was published by 505 Games. It was developed by Variable State. The game follows graduate FBI Special Agent Ann Tarver as she investigates her first case, the disappearance of a missing boy in rural Virginia. Now that sounds like, it's going to be a mystery game.
Did you get that? Did you know her name was Ann Tarver?
I just called her...
you didn't know that?
I mean, there's a lot of names in here that just kind of throw at you, but you have to read and stuff. And yeah, I know you're not a big reader, John. But
I just don't know.
I read books.
I read internet articles and graphic novels, but just like, books are hard.
I might. No, because they show her, they show the name tag often enough when, her on her desk and things like that. But after a while, I was at a point where I'm just like, I don't care. Because the game doesn't even care that you don't care. Because it just makes it, it progresses for you. You're just pretty much sitting and just watching this mystery, this experience unfold, and only occasionally moving the stick and pressing one button. You know.
Yeah, and I like walking simulator games like Firewatch or Gone Home or even some other one that I played that I can't think of.
But see, I like adventure games.
Yeah, I do enjoy games like that.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's more like an interactive movie, that doesn't bother me. The one thing that really bothered me about this game is it's so damn slow. The speed at which you can turn or move is maybe a third as fast as I would like it to be. And there's no way to speed up either. There's no sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned this earlier in two episodes ago or something. I hate games where it dictates how fast you can move. It doesn't at least give you a faster option or a slower option. So I'm just moving at a glacial pace and I want to explore the environment. That's what I love about games like this, is it has a thin narrative. Yes. But the idea is to explore the environment, find new little interactives that give you maybe a 40th of the story, but it's really cool to find those things and like put piece together what's going on with these characters. Whereas I just didn't want to, because it took me forever to get to another room, and I just like...
And usually when you get to that other room, you cut to a completely different place that has nothing to do with where you originally were. I mean, that's my biggest problem with the game. It's like, I'm fine with it being artistic and being different, but this game kind of sets out to be really, it's a virtual novel, it sets out to be very cinematic. But what is the problem with that is that it's told from a first person perspective. And when, like in movies, like there's hard cuts in movies, but we don't often see that in video games, particularly from a first person perspective. And when you get those hard cuts, once you're in a scene, you're like investigating an area, like you said, at that glacial pace, it always caught me off guard. And I always felt weird every time that happened. It always like, it made me like not want to play. Just go, I don't know what's happening. And I couldn't take in and appreciate what Variable had created, or at least attempted to create it.
Didn't get the opportunity to really explore their environments or anything. And I can see the drawing thing. I moved back and forth on that idea because I understood they do this aspect ratio thing from the get-go where I'm like, okay, you're really leaning into the we're a movie kind of idea.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so the hard cuts are sort of like a camera angle switch for any other film. So you're walking down a hallway, you just cut an angle and they're all the way at the other end of the hallway.
Well, not even that. You're in like a completely different area.
No, but I mean like in a movie that's what happens. So like that's the kind of idea here. Yeah, and I think that maybe that's why they're like, it's okay to move at a glacial pace. But what really irked me is when it did get in the way of me exploring. So there's instances, I think we talked about it. There's a moment where you're in a gas station. You stop at a gas station and your partner, Maria Halpern, goes into the gas station. And you're left in the car. I use the opportunity to like look at the stuff because one, it triggers you to look at one of them, and then I was like, okay, I'll look at this one, and I'll look in the glove compartment. And then a guy comes up in a car and knocks on it.
Dick.
Which is like, wait, have I seen that guy? Was that the guy I saw in the park? You're never really sure. But I'm looking around trying to find other things to look for, and then hard cut. And it bothers me most because I'm in the middle of exploring. I wish there was some way for the game to know that, one, my face isn't looking forward. I am in this sort of mindset that I'm looking off to the side and down. So then when all of a sudden you just snap my neck forward and I'm in a different zone,
you're watching this
I'm just like, what is going on? And it is jarring. It isn't as jarring for me as I think it was for you, because I got used to it after every once in a while.
I was annoyed from it the entire time.
Yeah, so you were annoyed from the entire time. I gradually got more annoyed with it when I got more and more interested in where the story might be going, because it is obtuse. The game is so fucking obtuse. Where at first I really was like, okay, well, then you want me to dig for it. You want me to look for these answers.
Yeah.
But I'm not even sure it wants you to do that.
I don't think it doesn't want you to dig and look. It's like they want to tell you a grand story through all of the symbolism and look at this dead bird. Which, by the way, that dead bird in the game, the cardinal, is the national bird for Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, it's a state bird. The state bird for Virginia. It's like, oh, that makes sense. But it's like, who cares? It's a dead bird. What does it represent? We don't know. We're going to make a look at it for a second. We're going to hard cut to a coffee cup.
Something that I've been looking at other things about the game, and again, it's one of those instances where the developer is like, I don't know, it means whatever it wants to mean to you. I hate when that happens. I would just like to know at least what you think it means, so I can kind of have that idea. But what I kind of, like you talking about the Virginia State Bird, it's, I think something about the story is maybe there's, and here's spoil.
Let me spoil
it. Yeah, we were going to go ahead and spoil it. I like the game more than Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
is that a spoiler?
No. I'm saying, if you don't want to move forward, that's my opinion.
Yeah.
I like the game more than Chris. I actually think the game's pretty good, but way obtuse. Way too obtuse. But, spoilers, no. I think the game is probably about freedom and, you know, these ideas of choice. So, you're saying the bird, the cardinal, is like the state bird of Virginia.
Yeah.
Birds represent, like, freedom, the ability to explore the world, whereas the instant you see it, it's caged. And when you try and let it out,
get hit by a 2x4.
It just dies.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of emblematic of maybe what Anna Tarva is feeling. Because she is forced by, I can't remember.
Cord McCracken, or the hell his name is.
She's forced by her superior to investigate her partner.
She's an internal investigator for the FBI.
Yeah, so I don't know if.
Which I think is cool.
And I'll say this one thing. I don't know if her partner is her partner just in terms of FBI work, or also her, like, partner.
Or, yeah, like, a lover. Or,
yeah, that's
I mean, clearly there's a relationship
which
building.
Which I had thought it
which
was.
Which is the best part of the game, in my opinion,
yeah,
is that.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. And in even then, it never explicitly tells you, which kind of bothers me. Yeah. It keeps me from being 100% invested in them, because I feel like she's betraying a friend, but if I knew for a fact she was betraying, like, her lover. then I would be like, okay, that hurts. And I'm kind of confused why that's possible. Why would the FBI trust you to do that?
Yeah.
but then there's at the very end, you know, they're looking for a lost boy. They kind of throw that out the fucking window.
Like by the last third of the game.
Yeah.
And it's weird.
But it comes up at the very end, I think.
Ginger Priest father.
You know when they're driving in the car and there's a guy on the side of the road?
Yeah, it's Lucas.
It's the boy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's this idea that he was in a bad situation. Yeah. The picture was kind of far off. It didn't give me a good enough time to look at the picture, but I assume he got a photograph of his priest father with another lady.
Which I imagine, we should, you know, because it's a reverend, I guess it would be like, he's probably Protestant, you know. But yeah, yeah.
Is that okay?
Well, I mean, you can't, if you're a priest, you can't marry. It's like,
okay.
But so he's obviously, he's a reverend, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Like a
so,
preacher.
A preacher. Thank
okay,
you.
A preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were two different women, and I couldn't tell.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was confused. What? I thought it was, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, I kept getting confused. And then I noticed, no, wait, I saw that lady earlier. She looks different than that one. Okay, they're two different people. I didn't notice it the first time.
But it's so quick that he doesn't give you time to really take that in.
That's the problem. The game shows you these things and then takes them away, and I kept getting frustrated because I was like, I want to explore your environment. Please let me do that. So my idea is that, like, Lucas noticed that about his parents, and he noticed a deteriorating sort of relationship.
Yeah.
And you go into his closet, and you see his little lobby, his little photograph room.
Yeah, it's dark room.
That is so hidden from people, and that is so makeshift that I think he's looking for an escape.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think he's not missing. I think he ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, there's the ending.
Yeah. And when they're driving away out of Virginia. So, like, they're joining him. They've finally made their escape from this sort of cycle. And near the end where Anne takes this acid trip, which at first I didn't know that's what that LSD. Paper was. I didn't know that paper was LSD.
I'm like, that's LSD.
I wasn't sure. I had forgotten. My thing was, is like, I had forgotten she got it from the, like, college student who was in, like, the woods. I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's LSD.
Mm,
my idea is that she, when you go forward in time, sort of, like, you're in the jail cell. I don't understand when you're in the
time,
jail cell.
They play of time here, and that's a big thing, where you go back in the past and like, the future, and a possible future.
Yeah,
another possible future, and an alternate reality. It's like, what?
It's a dream sequence? Possible future part where she, like, keeps fucking over everyone.
Yeah, the internal investigator.
Yeah, it's sort of like that cage. Mm-hmm. She's in the cage still, technically.
Right, okay.
and what I thought was interesting, too, is a lot of the people she screws over... and interacts with are minorities.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Okay, I didn't notice that until, like, it was kind of pointed out to me. It was like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I also thought the fact that she is a black female protagonist and the partner is also a black female. There's a lot of people of color in here, and it kind of has this idea of, like, you know, are you willing to put down your fellow, you know, minority in order to assimilate, in a sense. I kind of got those ideas
to
going.
Become
Korg
McCracken.
To become a corporate sort of goon and kind of become, and I, you know, I'm person of color, you're not, and it's, I don't want to insult anybody, but, like, become
part of, point that out.
I think that's important, like, when we talk about these issues, into like,
I picked up on that, John.
Those ideas I got very interested in.
Sure.
And so, like, I think that's maybe why I give the game a little more slack, is I've become more okay with digging into these things post-game than during the game. I do wish the game was a little more, less obtuse. What's the opposite of obtuse? Acute?
Yeah, it is acute. Yeah. Well, more narrative-driven. What you just said, it sounds like a great story. You know, kind of all these different things playing around, like the fact that they're looking for this missing kid, but at the same time, she's an internal investigator investigating her partner, and it could be because it's based on racial prejudice because of her superiors.
Yeah.
And she herself is black. That's really cool. Tell that story, but don't tell it the way that you told it, because it's off-putting to someone who isn't used to the kind of direction that you're taking, the hard cuts, you know, the zero dialogue within, which is fine. You can have that, but do you still be able to tell the story?
I don't think you can do zero dialogue and be as obtuse symbolically as you're being.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're making it hard on both spectrums.
There's a lot.
To, like, understand, and it's, you do have an important, I think you do have an important message here.
You know what I think helps, because we haven't mentioned it yet, is the score. The music in this game helps set the mood in every single scene. Yeah. Even after those hard cuts, it instantly lets you know what's kind of happening, what these characters are thinking at that time. and where it's the one thing that I've kind of come away with, other than the certain story aspects that I did appreciate and I wish they kind of went into more, is the score for the game. I think it's incredible. And as someone who kind of likes those more cinematic type scores, I think it's definitely worth getting. Even if you're not a fan of the game, I would purchase this music. So
that's yeah, and it's also fairly cheap.
Yeah, I mean, it's only $10.
Yeah, I got it for $5 because it was on sale. I thought you were going to mention the big takeaway was that buffalo.
See, that's the other thing. What the fuck was that? Yeah. I mean, I only mentioned the idea of freedom, that the fact that because the whole dream sequence when it's like a cult, like they're all cultists and they're all wearing
white faces.
Yeah. And the idea that she's being accepted into this cult and that she herself, she's removed her black face. Sounds weird. Yeah. and that she's performing the sacrifice. She's sacrificing the, I don't know why it's a buffalo. Maybe it has something else to do with Virginia. Maybe the buffalo is
To do with a different state. The idea of escaping to a different state. It's my hometown. Like, it's my hometown. They're going to Buffalo.
Is that close to Virginia? No.
Okay. I don't know maps.
No, it's not. But yeah, the buffalo thing was weird. But I guess maybe it symbolizes something from Virginia. But yeah, the idea that, I'm glad they mentioned that up. Yeah, they're all wearing white masks. It is this cult personality. We're all together.
And I didn't put that.
You're going to sacrifice who you are in order to become one of us.
See, and I didn't exactly put that together immediately. Mm-hmm. It was more like upon looking at other people mention the race thing, I was like, oh, okay, that would make some sense. See, and like,
I guess me being white, that flew over my head. I'm thinking, what's going on?
But see, I think, and we mentioned this in early episodes, yeah, where it's like, I think games need to go in this direction. At least in these coming few years. I think it's important.
I like every, not every, every single not game, every, but I think
I want Dooms. Important. I want, yeah, Dooms all the, yeah, live long
but
day.
It, to do this, but tell it in a more succinct
way. That's what I was going to say. It's hard to kind of get these conversations going if you're so obtuse. And mm-hmm. I think you need to open these ideas up to, yeah, also the Doom audience, in a sense. Like, mm-hmm. I can't convince someone who loves Doom to play this game the way I'm trying to explain it.
Yeah.
Because I can't explain it. And so,
because you've played everything, and then it's like, why should I play it?
Because everything I'm saying is like, I think it means this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. And he's like, well, then why would I want to play it? And I think this is a good direction, but it's like a David Lynch leap. Sort of.
Oh, this is definitely very, yeah, you're absolutely, he's very Lynchian. Yeah,
so, totally. Yeah, I saw comparisons like that online, yeah, as well. There was just like, you can't show someone who just saw Star Wars like, yeah, you want to jump into this kind of film, like, if you really want to get into film. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to ease people into these ideas. And I really do like its ideas. It's just,
tell it better.
Yeah, tell it better. Also, the dad thing, the dad's in there. We didn't mention that at
Which
all.
Which dad?
Her dad.
And, oh, yeah, he's dead.
Like, but also, there were ideas that everything is his perspective. Or like, him trying to convince his daughter, don't go down the path that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I had to go back and rewatch this, but the opening with a lockbox, those are his hands. Those are the only time those are male hands. And
oh, I missed that.
I did too. I missed it because I thought it opened with everything. I went back and looked at it and I was like, that changes the game, like, yeah, completely. And that's never really, that's a split second and you miss it and the game changes. Mm-hmm. So it plays a lot with perspective, with time, with just your ideas of narrative in general. And it's kind of, I don't know, I think we've been repeating this. It's just, yeah, like, it's too obtuse.
It's too obtuse, but there are some things that we can appreciate, yeah, about it. You know, that's what I'll say. And I'm just going to go right into my final thoughts. And I think, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I really enjoyed the score. I think there are some points in the game, like certain environments are very beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very simple in terms of like the way the characters look. I mean, it's like, there's no textures, but like the environments are kind of cool and I appreciated that. And I guess, you know, having this conversation with you talking about the game, it's like, it's made me appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's still things that frustrated me so much about it. The hard cuts, I just wanted more of a succinct narrative. And I think that there is a narrative there that is really cool and different in a video game, but I just don't, I really didn't like the way they told it. So for right now, I'd probably just give it 5 out of 10 dead birds.
And I think it is very obtuse as well. But I also think what is there. And as someone who loves to dig into the things online from time to time, this one really had me interested. Like, what did this mean? Where is it going? And it's also so short. It's 2 hours long at the longest.
If that.
I think
like 90 minutes.
It's... MLG gamer over here.
I didn't pause to look up. What does this mean?
So it's definitely a short game. And I think $10 for 2 hours, that's basically a movie. And you can share this. You have this forever. You can share it with somebody else. So if you really want to see indie and kind of experimental gaming, this is really worth your time.
Yeah.
If you don't, avoid the fuck out of this game. Yeah. It is so confusing. But I still enjoyed it for what it is, and I think I enjoyed it even more having this conversation and searching those things online because, as I've said, this is where I would like to see some games go and cause these conversations. I love when gaming goes outside the game. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 white face masks.
Yeah. Fuck those whiteies, man. Fuck those honkies. We don't need them anymore.
He's white. He said it, not me.
Yeah.